This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. That's how we start the show every single time. It is indeed one of the shortest hours in the week. It's a Thursday. And you know what that means. It's time for Unplugged and In Charge right here on CliffCentral.com. Now, this is also a time in which we have these really great conversations. They're always constructive. They're about young people doing amazing things. People on the move, on the hustle, trying to grow what they have into something that will one day be left as a legacy for younger people after them to follow as well. So that's the type of conversations we normally have. We have really upbeat, constructive conversations, things that are going to move you from where you are to where you want to be. Because, guys, it's a continuous process every single time, is it not? Definitely. My name is Weza. You can call me Weza That Guy. It's always great to be right here on CliffCentral.com on Unplugged and In Charge. Now, I've got three people in the studio with me. It's a bit of a full studio. I don't have small koozie here this time around. I just have these three individuals who are all doing amazing things. One gentleman, he's into electric mobile type of things. I'm not going to mention the details yet because I want you to wonder, what am I talking about? Electricity, okay, and mobility, okay, and how do these things come together? And he's young at the same time. He's funding most of these things himself. He's on the move, but that's just one of his companies. He's got parallel hustles. I think we are in the generation now where we need to have multiple streams of income. And that's more or less what he's doing. His name is Fezile. We're going to be talking to him in a short little while. But I also do have a lady that's into hygiene and beauty at the same time. I mean, she's doing amazing things in that space. She owns a salon, and then she owns a company that's all about sanitation, young people getting employed through that as well. She's creating employment and she's on the move and on the hustle. Then I also have another one on top of all of that. Now she's into acting. Yeah, and I mean, that is an interesting story altogether, because here's the story of a young girl starting off living so far from the Josie life. And then she decides, you know what, I need to come to Josie. You know, she's like a Jimmy comes to Josie, that type, you know. And she's going to tell us how the hustle has been. She's doing amazing stuff right now. She plans to do even bigger things in the future. You need to really remember some of these people's names, because they're really, really going to go somewhere in life. And they're really going to teach us some great, great things. I don't even know who to start with, because everyone right here has some amazing, amazing things that they could, of course, teach us and tell us about just about life, about the hustle. But I have a feeling I should normally, you know, we always have this whole thing of ladies first. How about maybe we switch it up this time around and we first start with the gentleman, because you are the only gentleman here amongst ladies. So let's actually start with Ufezile. How are you doing, brother?
All right, man. Weza, thanks for having me.
Sure thing. Fezile Dlamini, but it's Dlamini with an H.
There's no difference, really.
There's no difference.
There's no difference.
You know, because there's the Dlaminis with the H and there's the Dlaminis without the H.
Yeah, so just to give you that, like in my family, mm-hmm. my grandmother has a DL. My mm-hmm. grandfather has a DH.
Yo, yo.
Parts of my family have a DL. Parts of my family have a DH. So it was a
product apartheid.
Yeah.
Actually, that's the same with my family. There are some people who have Matomane with the H. In fact, how you say Matomane is you say it with the H. Like it sounds like there's an H, but my surname does not have an actual H. But yeah. Then there are some Matomanes that have H's. Like I know when I look at in the IDs of my great grand and so on, I see H's there, and then with us there's no H, you know, because the bus just didn't write the H that day. And then you're like, bus, sorry, there's a mistake. Hey, what's it? No, sorry, bus, nothing. And that's how these things happen. Yeah. Cool. Fezile, tell us about some of the things that you're currently doing. I know that you're into a number of different things. One side you have a social media marketing company,
yeah.
But that's not even all that you do? There's so much. So tell us a little bit about it.
All right. So the primary company, the core company, is Green Scooter. You know, Green Scooters being Africa's first all-electric vehicle ride-sharing platform, which is due to launch. And with that, I've had to find ways of funding this company myself. And that's because I've had difficulty with funding it, because it's a highly complex business, which people want to see it in action first before they'll put in the millions I'm asking for.
Sure.
So I've had to create two other entities. One is called Nokwe Digital, which is pretty much a digital agency providing software and hardware for events. For events and clients, whatever client needs they are, we provide them from Nokwe Digital. Then my other one is called Move Digital. Move Digital is a social media marketing agency. That's pretty much what I do.
Okay, let's dissect a couple of them. Nokwe Digital, you said, is different from Move Digital.
Yes.
The one is social media.
Yes.
And the other one?
The other one is strictly software development, hardware development. So one of our latest technologies is a smart mirror. So what the smart mirror pretty much is that it's a 1.8 by 910 millimeters. And it's pretty much, how can I say it? It's like a tablet on steroids. So it's a touchscreen mirror. You can take pictures, take videos, capture data, and use it for, like, we've sold it to a couple of brands for their own activations. And it's something completely different from a generic photo booth or a generic stand that is used to collect data. So I always, whenever I think of something, whenever I think of tech, I think of the next level of doing things.
Wow, that's pretty cool, man. You have this Steve Jobs-y, Zuckerberg-y thing about you. Yeah, and that's a really great thing.
Thank you.
Excellent. Now, I mean, I'm already imagining that mirror. If you put it in toilets, girls would just go crazy. But obviously, not there by the place where you can see the other toilets. Mara, it's just positioning
enough,
is key.
You can actually put it there. If they wanted us to build something for that, we can definitely do it. Even what you guys think. But what we're using this for one of our clients, is for, you know, as a photo booth of sorts, taking videos, capturing videos. You can actually play notes and crosses on the mirror. So remember, it's a mirror that is literally touchscreen the whole way.
Yeah.
So that's how we've been doing it. And I'm literally using these businesses to fund Green Scooter because it's been difficult as a black entrepreneur to get funding.
Now, this is quite interesting when you say that, you made a company to fund, you made a company, you realized you needed money, and you decided not to go get a 9-to-5 job, but to actually start other companies that will fund this company. Yeah. These ones are so-called the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, so I actually quit my job last year. That was the I only worked a 9-to-5 probably from February 2016 up until July 2017. I moved up the corporate ladder pretty quickly, as from a content strategist, local web coordinator, to head of social media. And it wasn't great, you know. Even though Green Scooter, I came up with the idea back in 2015 on holidays, it's something I submarined, and then I just felt that, you know what, I'm getting frustrated by how the system works within the corporate world. So let me actually get back to that opportunity that I created. And I've been working, I've been crafting, I've been trying to, you know, understand my business plan holistically, build other things within it, which I never knew were supposed to be there, and which is key as if you want to be an entrepreneur.
Man, this is all really, really impressive. It's not easy to go from having these submarine ideas, working a 9-to-5, which I believe so many of us do.
So many guys
who are in 9-to-5s have these great ideas, or they think they're great ideas. Some are even scared to share them because what if you steal my idea?
Sign an NDA. I came to learn that NDAs, look, if it's really great to steal, then someone can easily steal it. But not everyone wants to sign an NDA. Not everyone has to sign an NDA. Just give them a brochure of your business.
Yeah.
Not how everything works. And that's another thing that people have to learn, is that how you sell your businesses is not always this is how we're going to be looking in the next 10, 15 years. No, sell what needs to be sold right now. And that's how I've managed to learn certain things. You know, I didn't know, for one, that the term value chain had existed. Because for me, it was something completely different, which is just how I see my business branching out over time. So it's something that I had to, you know, master and build, so that tomorrow, when people ask me what's a value chain and how your business will be sustainable in future, that's something I had to focus on. So this is a lifetime business I've built, that being Green Scooter.
It's really impressive for me that's pretty much what you did. I have friends who are also into this whole thing of starting a certain business, but that business maybe needs too much money, and they're relying on funding that's not quite coming yet, and it's meeting after meeting, and things are not necessarily materializing. And this approach, that at least you have a practical example of it, because my advice to them was, find low-hanging fruits. What are some businesses that you could start right now? Yes, they're not what you've always wanted to do, but it is what you can do. You know, sometimes you have to
just to get by.
Yes, do what you can do where you are, so that you can do what you want to do where you want to be.
Yeah,
you know.
You see, with that, one thing I come to learn as well is that, look, you may have a business idea that requires about 50 million, right? Even if you have a business idea that requires 10 million, how much do you need to start? Like, the investors will always ask you, how much do you need to start? But that question as well, it's a question of, even if you give me what I need to start, it will probably not sustain me, because you're just then going to fold your hands and look at me and see, it's okay, sharp. I'm going to go to your pillar lab. So what I've done on my side is that I've now broken up my operational expenses, my operational analysis. So I've broken it down into different segments. Okay, sharp.
Phases.
Different phases. So with those phases, there's timelines to it that, okay, putting time, I should have raised X amount. X amount gets me this, then I can move this phase. So you need to also start thinking differently with how you plan on getting the money, because it's, in most cases, I'm not gonna get 50 million like this, boom, unless someone's very generous and they want to play the role of a sugar daddy, and you know, that's what they call them in the investors world, actually. If someone comes and funds you,
angel
ideas,
funder,
not even that, they actually call them sugar daddies.
Okay,
sugar daddies is someone that literally gives you, whenever you say, I need this, Naimat.
Yeah.
I need this. So they call them sugar daddies.
Yeah.
Because it's also a patriarchal system.
Yeah.
It's not really matriarchal in that sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, people understand in terms of breaking it down. A lot of people in the corner are pela umoya. So with me, I've been depressed.
Yeah.
I probably suffer from depression maybe like twice or thrice a week, because things don't go as they should. But at the same time, you need to have something that's going to keep you going. So for me, it's my faith and how I've channeled my spirituality as a person, is that, you know what, one daughter, like the whole story that's been used on social media and even in media regarding to my entire business, is that if all doors close, build your own. So always find a way, you have your own support system as a person. And it's very important to be your own support system, because you can't predict abantu kutbanjani.
Yeah.
So that's how I've managed to keep myself together throughout.
You know, Les Brown says, if the door's closed and it's locked and it's shut and you don't have the key, come back tomorrow with a screwdriver and take off the hinges.
That's pretty much a solution right there. Or come with a crowbar.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Now we're getting into something interesting. You know, I had a conversation with Spoo from Skinny Spoo Socks, you know, he usually has these great presentations about how great and lavish things are and so on. But then with that particular conversation, he went into the real deep, darker side of entrepreneurship and doing it on your own and not having the funding and falling into debt and things not working out and the people that you trusted don't come through for you, and then he falls into depression and so on. So you mentioned a bit of depression now. And these are things that a lot of people are going through. Some are going through it because of maybe comparison when they're looking at how successful someone else's thing looks like it's going from where you're standing. You know how social media always paints the perfect picture?
Yeah.
So then
when you don't even do that. I literally tell people like it is.
So tell us like it is, man.
Like, look, man.
Leaving your 9 to 5 and thinking, F this, I'm going to start businesses. Look at Fezile. She's got 3 companies. F this, I'm just going to go. What's the hard stuff about having to leave a safe place to pursue this thing, and yet it is not always consistent?
You know, I left the safe place in July, and I just bought my property. So it was a thing of, okay, how are we going to survive? But luckily I had a client, which was a university institution, which I've had them for quite some time, but they were paying just enough, but not enough for me to not cover my bond and my car and my daily expenses. So I've always had to think of, okay, cool, where else am I going to look for a 2 rand or something? Mm. Look, with depression, you know what comes with that. Suicide comes into play. You know, I'll be honest, I've probably had 3 attempts in my life when I was much younger, because, you know, you're a misunderstood individual. After I failed the 3rd time, I was like, okay, cool, clearly I'm a failure at suicide. So I think that I literally threw that completely out the window.
Yeah.
But like between last year, this year, it's thoughts that will always come to you, because you just feel like, you know what, there's nothing else. You know, you don't want to go back to a 9 to 5 because you're like, you hate that life. So it's like, Zenza Anjani, you know. You will travel kilometers and spend thousands of rands on petrol and on coffees to take these people out. And, you know, you know, there's a lot of people that like, I really learned it in the past 4 months, actually. And where people really like to sit down and they want to hear your business idea. They seem like they're potential investors, but then they just go, mum, you know, before I went to Sweden in March, I literally had to dig out of my savings, because my savings was one thing I told myself I was never going to touch for the longest of time. Then eventually I had to touch it, because I was like, okay, cool, I need to travel, I need to go do this. And met up with this one person. This person said, no, look, go and get this one thing. Once you have that thing, then when you come back, we'll have a different conversation. So I got it, and that was then the official signing of a deal between myself and my partners in Sweden. After that, coming back, I think he actually helped me with that. So as much as when I came back, he didn't give me the money I asked for, he helped me, you know, rather push quicker with getting this document that you needed so, so dearly, instead of waiting to get money first, then to get it. Rather tap into what you have, and then, as in, sobona pambili. You know, I think also that narrative that we have as Black people of sobona pambili, it actually helps out a lot if you actually really think about it. Like, sometimes you just have to say effort. You know, you just have to say effort, do what you got to do. When is it? April, May were probably my darkest months, as much as social media was celebrating me and my thing oh so much. I was really, my bank balances were sitting on a negative. You know, I always had to make sure that the bond is always covered, the car's covered, the cell phone contract is covered. Actually, I think it was May. Where my cell phone contract, they blocked it, because I didn't pay for, like, I think I didn't pay for April. And, you know, I was desperate, but not too desperate. That's one thing I always make sure. And there's lots of stories you hear about what desperation does to people. And I've made sure that I never succumb to anything that is immoral or is not part of my moral compass, you know. If you go through a rough patch, it's probably for a reason. It'll teach you. There's a lesson that comes out of it. So I went through that dark patch where I was sitting on negatives, not knowing what's happening. I think I'd never asked my parents. The last time I asked my parents for money was 2013. And I literally asked my mother, like, look, can I please have 500 rand? Like, I really didn't want much. I was like, can I please have 500 rand? And I was like, I just need gas for the week and just to buy bread. So I'm literally living on bread every single day. Boom, 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 boom. Still traveling to these meetings, trying to get engaged with these people. And cool. Then the client that I've been working on finally pulled through for my other business. So payments came through. Then I had to settle all the small Nyana debts that I had, you know, these areas and new accounts. And then obviously I repaid my mother with like probably 100-fold of what she had given me, because you know, it was a rough time. You know, when as entrepreneurs you suffer in silence.
Yeah,
you suffer in silence.
It can really be a deep and lonely journey. Tell me, how important is to not have responsibilities when you're still starting out? For instance, yourself, are you married? Do you have kids? And do you think that is helping, or maybe it's at a disadvantage to where you are?
I'm single. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing, single, no kids, is that as a person, you need to be very selfish when you're an entrepreneur. You literally lose your emotion completely. People know me as that I'm emotionless, and that's because of how I've experienced life from high school days, and you know, through this entrepreneurial journey. Is like the people you try to depend on, they're not so much there for you, so you literally have to now fend for yourself with whatever you're doing. So it's literally using logic over everything. So logic is plays a very, very important role. You know, when you make decisions based on emotion, you'll make the wrong decision. You'll find yourself in a funk, and that funk is gonna it'll ruin you. You know, it'll eat you up. Like yesterday, I was talking to calling my brother, but we've known each other for a very long time. You saw the guy outside that side. You know,
yeah.
I was telling him about, you know, the current situation that I've been put in with a business partner. And he's like, yo, man, I've never seen you like this. And I'm like, yeah, because I never expected people to act like this. So, you know, you learn, you know, people come into your life for a reason. You know, it's very important as well to protect your space. Be careful who you let in. Be careful who you share your business information with. There's people who are going to want to know more about your business, more than you do, you know, and they're trying to know because they want to see if you're going to fail or not. You know, they're going to see how they can actually steal it. You know, here in life, nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you anything. It's rough out here. People need to realize that.
Don't you then think that this dream that you're pursuing is making you lose life itself? You're so busy trying to make a living that you're forgetting to live. What is to live?
I wish I could answer that in terms of what it is to live. I'm 26 years old. So I can't really give you a full perspective in terms of what that is. But
what's the point? Why are we doing this?
I asked myself this question last week. So I flew to China because I had to go collect some stuff. And I was literally there for 12 hours. I was in Hong Kong for 12 hours and I had to fly back. Fly back, get to Joburg, rent some errands, drive down to Durban for the Durban July to cater for a client's needs. And I was like, why did I do this? You know, sometimes you ask yourself, like, why? Even if things are okay, you ask yourself, why? Like, sometimes you just want to escape. Like, I live on the fourth floor. Sometimes I just feel like, actually, if I could just, like, jump off and then just forget about all of this stuff. You think about these things because it's so straining. Being an entrepreneur is very, very straining. With Green Scooter, for one, ever since I went and I spoke to the president publicly, we're talking.
Wait, which one? Tumamina?
Tumamina.
Okay.
So I think there's a video online which had trended as well. They should tell the president Kutiyuti. Nami ngicela ungithume. You know, that's basically what I was saying. Is that, look, I'm going to Umea. There's things I'd like to do. And you can see you guys are building relations with the Swedish government. I actually have partnered up with companies in Sweden. I feel like we can make magic here. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, there's been a lot of politics, economics, and social involved. And that's because my line of business, that being Green Scooter, it's not built for Africa, but it's built for Africa. Because Africa likes staying the same. They don't like evolving. They're not like innovating. They want to keep us in the same boat. Like, you see, we've got fuel hikes right now. The taxi industry is saying we're going to increase our price because we can't afford petrol anymore. But that fuel levy shouldn't even be a thing. We should have went electric long time ago. The transportation, the legislation for a vehicle classification should have changed in 1996, but that the last time it was amended, where you have my vehicles are categorized as a non-motorized transport, but that should have changed from non-motorized to electric motorized transport, because non-motorized means you're in the Flintstones. Do you get what I'm saying? So there's many things now we're fighting from a legislation perspective, from a political perspective, because now people are like, no, we can't let a small boy come in here with and try to take over our industry that we've already created. You know, there's that. Then there's also the social part of it, is that there's social benefits, there's financial benefits, there's environmental, there's just so much that I don't even know how I keep it together. I'll be honest with you. I've been asked this many times. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I wake up every morning. I get to my office. I work.
Because you know what? There's eating and there's enjoying the food. There's no point in having a lot of food that you just swallow. We might as well just cut a hole in your stomach and just put it in there. And if we're not tasting the food, we won't even get to appreciate. You know what? There's a scripture that says, it is good for a man to eat and to taste and eat the fruit of his hard labor. It is the blessing of God. You know, that scripture is talking about, you know, that apple or that burger, when you're holding it with both hands, that's how you hold a burger, with both hands. And you just go in. And while you're still chewing, you take another bite, man. You know, it's just that good. And why you work hard, why you building Green Scooter and all these other things is so that you can say, yeah. But if you, on the way there, lose the essence, even when you have it, you'll say, I came very far, but you will be far, but you'll be far from you.
That's some powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Look, I think for me right now is, I would say I am living. Like, I forget to eat. Sometimes I eat once a day. Sometimes I don't eat at all, and that's because when you're in your startup phase, you're in that focus zone where nothing else matters but what you're trying to achieve, and that's what a lot of people don't get. Is that if you still think you have time for three meals a day, brother, you have something else coming at you when you have to do the manual labor, you know. Sleep becomes one of those, like, literally I can sleep in 30 seconds. All I have to do is just lay on my bed and I'm out. I'm a deep sleep, I'm gone. And you know, there's stuff like that which you go through as a person. You go through these things.
Yeah, no, definitely we do go through these things. I'm in business myself. In fact, I'm really enthused by your business because there's some synergy there. When I saw your story on social media, I thought, I need to meet this guy because actually there's some stuff we can talk about. Yeah. But now that I'm getting to know, you know, more layers to the to your book, you know, the other chapters, I'm beginning to see that you might lose yourself on the journey going there. And what is important maybe to a person like yourself is a great support structure. sometimes, yes, that support structure might come with too many other things. Like, for instance, you know, when they say behind every successful man is a strong woman, whatever. And you're thinking, ish, women are going to need time and energy that I don't have right now.
Brother.
Yeah. So if only you had... like, you know, like how the Fergusons are doing it at the moment. Yeah. Both of them are hustling hard. They're pushing together. And they somehow understand each other and they can be there for each other while hustling, going in the same direction, more or less. I'm not saying go get a girlfriend, what I'm saying is that sometimes if you had a support structure, it would remind you to live while you are pursuing the living so that you don't lose yourself on the journey, because some people do. And then when they get all the money and all the everything that they've always wanted, it means nothing, because it's like that scripture where Solomon was talking about how everything was just vanity. You know, he felt like there was nothing new under the sun. Everything is just like, blah, because he worked so hard, broke his back. And then when he gets to the end of this whole thing, he's like, why did I do this again?
You know, the most important underlying message that's there is what you're saying. It's not necessarily a message, but it's something that relates to what a lot of people tweet about and, you know, say on social media. Is that, look at what Bill Gates and whatnot, they're not dressed in Gucci and this and that. If people only knew where they actually buy their clothes and how much their t-shirts, like, I know Mark Zuckerberg's t-shirts cost like $600.
Yeah.
But they've got no brand name on there. But even with those people, is that, sebayiphilile, they understand it. They've enjoyed it. It's just that you, as a person sitting on the other side, who's the have-not, is gonna glorify this image that they've created, but in an actual fact, one of these people, they're living that high life. You know, that's what I hate. That's what I also dislike about, you know, how social media is abused from a perspective point of view. Is that, you know, you go and you glorify things that actually shouldn't be glorified, because those people are living a life that you don't even know of.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But, yeah, it's just people.
So what I wish for you is love, laughter, peace of mind, and just sleep, yes. and like an inner peace to be content, you know? Because... actually, that's all that matters.
You know, with inner peace, we'll find it.
Yeah.
It's just that right now, we are sitting in between Satan's butt cheeks.
Yo. Yeah.
You know, that if you're starting out and you want to... look, you wanna live that high life, you need to start somewhere, and that is in between Satan's butt cheeks. Because there's always someone's grandmother that's working overtime to make sure that your things don't come together.
Wow. Okay. So another important thing.
You know that made sense, right?
No, I do. But what you also need to know, ne, is I have heard this before, is that when bad things happen to you, your perspective is very important. It is not a force. It is a fact. That thing, even if a couple of things happen in the same week, it is still not a force. It's a fact. A fact is something that you can say, oh, that happened. All right, let's go along with it. But a force is this dark cloud, and you don't know when it's going to stop because it's not in your control. And you know what I mean? And you feel like it's stronger than you, and it's always there. And sometimes when we believe that more things start to happen in our lives that prove the thing that we believe already, you know?
My mind is a very powerful weapon.
Yeah. All right, let me get some of my other guests involved in this conversation. This was so deep that I could literally spend 2 hours. This is really amazing.
The only person who's ever interviewed me and has gotten that information.
Excellent. Wow, man. Thank you so much for sharing. Because it's important that we get to know. I always say, you know, it's not always just about the trees and the fruit, but it's sometimes about the roots and the soil in which your roots were formed. Yeah. Because when we understand that, we understand the leaves and the fruit more, because we understand how hard this has been, the dark stuff. you know, because that's how we start to appreciate entrepreneurs as well. And whether you are still on the come up, still on the startup, or in fact, whether you've made it and everything's working out well, we get to know that, hey, it wasn't always this way. Because normally people always paint that perfect picture, that Instagram life. Ooh, look at me. I'm an entrepreneur. It worked out. More fire. You know. Meanwhile, even Mr. More Fire has a deep, dark story of how hard it has been somewhere, you know, before it was the way it is. And maybe it's still rough. But the image that he has to sell maybe has to be this robust image of it working out and everything coming together. Meanwhile, there's so much going on. Mm-hmm. And usually the average conversation that you'd have on an interview is very shallow. It's very, oh, wow. So, I mean, you're doing so well. And then we sell this facade to youngsters that get into entrepreneurship. It's the easiest, best thing you can do with your life and you can make so much money. And that doesn't always happen.
And I was telling someone about this actually this weekend in Durban. That, you know, they're trying to tell these guys that, no, I'm glad that you quit your job. What? I don't know, I'm glad someone quit their job. And then you're gonna be telling them that, yeah, you can actually make money yourself. Make money on your own. Because they've found their own formula.
Yeah.
Now they feel that like this formula can just be a blanket that you just cover everyone with. And that thing, it doesn't work and it doesn't make sense. People need to understand, Uguti, we're all not built to be entrepreneurs.
We're not
all built to be employees. But even when you go back to primary school, whenever they used to ask us, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a nurse, you know, policeman. Then you look 15 years later, you're definitely not any of those things. And that's where it starts. And people just need to understand, I'm a proprietor of fun. Indlela zethu azifani. Wena ufuna wena ukusebenzela moyele, sure. Ngakho umunye umntana miyekele, mtshele nje ukuthi bheka, if ufuna ukuya ngapha, kuzoba kanje na kanje na kanje. And then that makazikhethele ukuthi ufuna ukuyaphi.
So, a lady who went a different direction in her business is in beauty and also in industry cleaning, or let me rather say in, should I use the word hygiene or sanitation? Or
hygiene
is a better word. Yes, hygiene. It's Florence. Florence Mosipile, how are you doing?
I'm good, and you, Weza?
Excellent, excellent. So, Florence, tell us a bit about your businesses and how they're going right now.
I'm the founder of Cleaners on Call, which is a cleaning company which does commercial, domestic and industrial cleaning. The reason why I went for this business, one reason was that when we grew up back at home in Kagiso, I'm from the West Rand, by the way, I was forced to clean. I never understood why my mother had to make me clean. While I went to Krugersdorp High School, my friends say that, Florence, we've got an auntie. And I did all these things and we fought with my mother. There was no happy life around cleaning, you know?
Yeah.
And I always question myself, Kantu Mama, why is she not getting an auntie? And through time, while growing up and learning, I realized that, you know, this service is needed. And just when I moved out of home when I was 23, I realized I need an auntie for the house. But where do I get an auntie? Okay, I'll get somebody referred by a neighbor. Ah, this person. Next thing, all my issues are known by the neighbor. I'll get somebody I get from the street. This person. My things are lost. I'm losing things in the house. Whoa. Okay, I'll get somebody by umama that knows umama. And then umama knows all my business. Who was in my house, who was not in my house, what were they doing? Really? Mama is living in my house now. Then I realized that, you know, we need a company that gives us services that are professional. We need to take cleaning onto another level. Cleaners need to be professional to an extent that they respect their jobs like any other receptionist, manager, CEO. what we need is we need reliable, trustworthy, honest, and hardworking professional people within the cleaning industry. Because of a cleaner initially becomes a part of your home, a part of you. Because that's the person that washes your clothes. That's your image. That's the person that cooks for you. That's your, that deals with your health, and and then that's the person that deals with your comfort, which is home. This person is half you, by the way. So we need these people to be reliable, to be there. You need a mom. Let me say that.
All right, so you identified a gap in the market in that sense, and then you decided, okay, cool, let me start a company that's along those lines.
Yes, and again, with so many townhouses being built, with so much independence, with social media taking over our lives, that we need to be independent, we need to live the certain life. The direction in our lives right now, a 21 year old is already planning to move out of home, which was never there. Things have taken a different turn. So there is a need of reliable cleaning services.
Yeah. All right, cool. So how easy or how hard was it then to break into the industry with your new idea and then the company that you wanted to start?
It was not an easy journey at all, but I think it all goes with a passion for what you want and being goal driven. I believe that nothing worth having is easy to have in any way. And it all goes with perseverance, your focus, and hard work, and God. I believe that, okay, the journey was like this. After high school, I got my matric, good results, had very few people who mentored me to say that this is what you need to do. You'll get these bursaries, or this is how you apply. Okay, they'll give you bursaries and put it there, but you, at some point you need to say, you need that person who says, are you aware that this bursary is closing tomorrow? You need somebody who pushes you, especially when you're in those stages, when you're a teenager. Unfortunately, I never had those people, but I had examples in front of me. Okay, then after matric, then what do I do? The only thing that I was left is to start a company, take myself back to school. And I heard Ufezile saying that, you know, when you're in the business journey, there's so much, I'll say it's haters or it's energy stealers, energy thieves. Those are the first things that you come across. And okay, I'll move back to saying that then I started this business. My first job was with a lady who gave me 10 people to cater for. That's where it started. But because I had a goal, I had focus, and I had a vision where I want to see myself, then it moved. Okay, from this 10 people, what do I do first? Okay, I'll save some money for the business, and I'll take maturity and take my back self to school so that I can understand the boardroom language, so that I can understand what the client needs. I can understand what is my target market, what is my SWOT analysis. You know, that language whereby we have lived in terms whereby a spaza shop was ran the African way. It is very important that we run a business the way a business is supposed to be ran, not the African way. And then 7 years down the line, here I am. It was not easy, but there were those people like my uncle Bafana Ndendwa, who was there always to be a good example. That's why when you live your life, always think about it, who's looking? What impact are you doing? It may not be direct, it may be indirect, but you are touching somebody's life in a certain way. There are people that look up to you to say that, who Uput Fezile is wearing this cap, Uput Weza is wearing this, I want to be like him. So always live your life every day to be exemplary to people. Cleaners on Call, it's doing great right now. Even though, yes, you'll get that social media haters, you'll get those people who are there, but you never allow them. You need to speak positivity into your life and be a go-getter. Yeah.
what do you think of some of the things that Fezile has shared? He's shared a journey that sometimes seems lonely, sometimes seems very, very challenging, and so on. Have you experienced any of that in terms of the lonely, hardcore journey, the self-doubt, the internal conflict, and all those type of things, and then, you know, having to reconvince yourself that you made a good idea and having to, you know, to push through the pain in a way?
Yes, definitely I did. Fezile spoke of people who are moving goalposts. Mm. You go, you knock at this door, they say, get this document right. Get accredited for cleaning. Get this. You will be assisted. You're going to get this. This deal will be signed. You go get all these things. You go into trouble, you know, all this trouble. Even worse, not even having resources financially to gather all this up. Then you go, here, I've got all these things. I'm accredited and everything is here. Hello? Are you still there?
Mm.
Are you still there? They've went mum on you.
Yeah.
They're not even replying now. Now you're being a problem. Then you learn, okay, it's fine.
Mm.
Let me move right along.
Yeah.
But they become a helping phase whereby you acquire these things. It helps you.
Mm.
Another thing Fezile spoke about was depression. It is real.
Mm.
It is there. When you cannot pay the staff, when you cannot pay rent for your offices, when there's no revenue coming in. There are those months where you get a zero, like, what? Is it a dark cloud? But unfortunately, I never think of a dark cloud.
Mm.
I always say that we need to respect God's perfect timing.
Yeah.
In anything that we do.
Excellent.
I
want to just let Fezile come in here and maybe just leave his final remarks, because he has another event that he actually is currently doing for a big company, big company. So we don't want to get in the way of this man making his money.
Surely.
Yeah, yeah. Fezile, just some last, some last comments, and even maybe how we can find you. But you can also share on what has already been shared by Florence, and you can just add to your final, your final comments, really.
Look, guys, honestly speaking, if you wanna think entrepreneurship, if you wanna think, quitting something, make sure it's something that's your passion. Like 7 years going strong, that is passion. A lot of people don't have that. A lot of people like the thought of being successful, like they like the thought of being an entrepreneur, because they see the results, the outcomes of it, but they don't know the mining, the farming that goes with it. There's so many things you have to deal with, and you need to prepare yourself mentally. For me, I can't say promote, prepare emotionally, but I can say it for someone else. Realize that nobody owes you anything in this world. I'll repeat that again. Make sure that when you're going to come up with a business idea, even if it's a Me Too type of business, it's a Me Too that has a strategic distinction. If I really like the fact that you've got a cleaners on call, I would like for you to explore more what you can do with my platforms. I've got two platforms that we're launching, Scooter and Scooter Treats. Scooter Treats, it's e-services on demand. So it's me now focusing on many SMEs who don't have access to delivery vehicles, who don't have access to certain resources, but I'm giving them a platform where they can reach consumers that they would not ought to reach organically. Do a lot of your market research. Understand that even within your business plan, the core things is your situational analysis, your pestle analysis, your operational analysis, your financial analysis. Understand your numbers. Make sure that everyone is a billionaire on paper. No one actually works on the realistic numbers. If you have 2 rand, if you have 10 rand or something, take that. If it can achieve something small in your business, do it in the interim. That's what I'm currently doing. And that's like the best thing I can say for now, like moving forward. If people want to reach out to me, they can hit me up on Twitter, Audio the Brand, or they can follow Scooter RSA. And then on our website as well, all my details are there. So it's greenscooterza.com.
Excellent stuff. Thank you very much, brother. We'll get in touch. Yeah. You really, really are a gentleman on the move. You're doing so much. And thanks for sharing. Thanks for being open. Thanks for telling us about the roots.
Yeah.
Because that's the most important stuff.
Thanks, brother.
Great stuff. Well, we're going to let you slide on out of here, and but we'll carry on the conversations with the ladies right here. Thank you very much for joining us, Mfethu. I also have right here with me, okay, let me just adjust this right here. I have Miss Keva. Is it Keva or Kiva or Keva?
Miss Keva.
Miss Keva.
One, yes.
Yes, just like that. How are you doing, Bugia?
Good. How are you, Weza?
Excellent, excellent. So you're in the space of acting, right? But tell us a bit more about what you're currently doing and also where you started.
The journey started in, I think it was 2016. I'm not sure. It actually started back in high school. You know, when I was very good in maths. And the teachers literally forced me to do physics. And I was like, that is not me. Sorry, guys. I loved the easy way, I should say. I wanted to do tourism. I know I'd pass, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, okay, you know what? And my friends used to tell me, they would all, Ubusi specifically, would always tell me, Bukiwe, why don't you go into acting? Because he's such a character. But I mean, character? No. But... I actually thought about it. Oh, wow. I got it. You know, when you're a kid and you're naughty and you are just full of energy. And yeah, I think I just went over my boundaries and all of that. So I got expelled. It was a girls' school. So yeah. So I went to a Cape Town High. And when I went to Cape Town High, I met the hooligans, the most hooligans. And I was just like, Mom, I will not survive in this school. And then she was like, these kids are exactly like you when you were in Holy Cross.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. I should just survive. And at school, I always wanted something that's got to do with me. Because Holy Cross, I was the bell ringer. So at school, I was like, guys, let's start a dance group. And then they were like, yeah. And then every assembly, we used to dance. And then I expanded it. And I was like, let's do acting. And then I didn't know anything about acting at that time. I was just like, okay, cool. Let's do it, man. We went in. I wrote the script. I can't even remember what I wrote. But Oyama helped me. He was very good in literature, yeah. So, yeah, we went. We competed with other schools that are already involved in this. Hey, we were like, yo, we're going to lose. And then I was like, you know what, guys? Let's just perform. Let's have fun. And I didn't even know that in acting, you just have to have fun. It's a job, but you have fun while doing it, of course. So we went in full force. We had fun. And then we became second. And then I was like, wow, we are actually doing a great job. After that, I took a gap year and my mom asked me, so Sissy, what are you planning on doing? And I was like, if you're not taking me to City Varsity, I'm not going to school. Then she was like, okay, cool. I'll take you to City Varsity. Boom, I fell pregnant. I think it was August.
Before you went to City Varsity?
I was already in City Varsity.
Oh, you're one of those girls when they send you to school and then...
you come back with a present.
Oh, man. You know, there's something I heard where this lady calls the child diploma.
Yeah.
And they say, why is you call the child diploma? Because the girl left... home saying she'll come back with a diploma, then she came back with this one. So this is probably diploma.
Oh my word. Yeah. Okay. So that's what actually happened. And then I was like, you know what? I cannot fail my mom twice. I can just not do that. Because she had to pay the full amount. And I couldn't finish because they were like, no, we have movement classes and you have to jump up. So we can't do that. Your mom has to finish paying and you come back and she pays again. And then I was like, and City Varsity is very expensive. And I call bursaries and all of that. I was like, okay, you know what? I am going to Joburg. My mom was... She was furious. You could see the anger, she was scared. And she was just like, you're not going to Joburg. I'm like, watch me. Hey, And then she knows that this child is a rebel. Mm. At that time, I was just living my life. And my sister at that time, okay, my mom's younger sister lived here, but she was abroad because she's always abroad, even now in Kenya, you know. So I was like, I am going to Joburg. She saw me packing. She's like, I'm not giving you money. Blah, 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 blah. And my aunt Usisintutu lived in Joburg and she has friends. So she asked the friend to accommodate me for a while. I packed a very big suitcase. My mom watched me. And you know, umzali when afunuk banisha, ati pega, wash the dishes, clean this. And then I'm thinking, I'm going to do all of this. Wash my car, me wash your car. Okay, cool. I took the car to the car wash, came back. And she was really scared, shame my mom. But I came to Joburg. The funny thing is that, so I get to Joburg, they tell me, take the Gaut train. I'm like, what is that? How do I? I was at the airport for the longest time. With my phone off, I didn't know any, with this very big suitcase, but I made my way to the house. And yeah, and then I started hustling. I got into an agent, which was the wrong, a number one, guys. When you want to get in acting, always Google the best agents. There are agents that will just lure you in because they want to, you understand. Hi, they called me Gigi. I was Montle in Pretoria, and it was the June 16th, the following day. They said, I'm shooting the following day on the June 16th at 6 o'clock. I've got to be in Roodepoort. I'm like, where's Roodepoort? I'm like, okay, I'm going to find a way. And it's a public holiday. There are no, it was just a mess. But fortunate enough for me, there was a girl that I was shooting with. So we all went to, her mom picked me up. Because they were, are you still in Pretoria? Yeah, yeah. We went to shot Sokola and Partners. And boom, I was one of the leads, supporting characters. I was like, okay, wow, I can do this. Following month, shooting Rhythm City. I shot there for about, I think it was 2 weeks. Which was like, okay. And they kept on extending my character because they were like, hey, we love your energy, man. Hey, Petri, lent feds. He used to call me Petri. And I was like, wow, energy. You know, when you, yeah. But it's very tough. It got really tough because now I realize it's not about looking for the fame. I actually want this to be my job. Now I'm an RTMC ambassador. So we actually work, we do industrials.
So industrial theater.
Yeah, I was like, I love industrial theater more than camera. So that's when I saw that, okay, I don't really want the fame. I just love the job. But it was very tough. So last year we graduated Gi Scholars Kabab Duma Dumakanjovu Academy at the Joburg Theatre. And yeah, it was just like, oh well, yeah, I'm still young, I'm still fresh. And when you get into that space where everyone is acting, everyone is doing proper things like Abo Sens or Stay on Mubango, okay, he's now Korowa Kwabo Mama Bom Tandazo. He was there. He was, and you see real people. When I'm referring to real people, like the characters, they real, and then you're like, "Ay, but these people are here. These people are here. People are working," and that's what motivated me on working. That okay, you don't necessarily have to do acting alone. Like we'll be doing an acting expo in Cape Town for the less fortunate kids. It's like a lot of things in one. And now I'm currently playing Uthogo on Isidingo. That journey is not easy too, but it's nice. It's easy when you around the people, but when you find that, hey, you're not getting enough calls, you're just like, how am I doing this?
So there's often this talk about a struggling artist, and there's a phase of being a struggling artist. Do you relate with that at all?
Pretty much. I am a struggling artist.
Tell us what is the life of a struggling artist?
Depression is everywhere I see. That's very depressing. I would sleep and you wake up and you're like, wow, I'm depressed. and you try to do something, you write you, but you're still depressed because you're like, I don't have money. There's no electricity. Who am I going to ask for electricity? I've got a son back at home that I've got to. And I took my son in. I was like, okay, come live with me. I want to live with you because I thought I had it all. And I was just like, no, you know what? I can't. Because there are months where there's no salary coming in. There's actually absolutely nothing coming in. And you're just like, what? What is happening? And you start calling directors, start calling producers. What's happening? Sorry, they didn't write for you this on this block. You're not on this block. I'm like, oh, okay. But I'm so proud of myself. I must say I've come a very long way, not knowing anyone in Joburg, to living, to having my own apartment in Joburg now. And yeah, but I am a struggling artist, I must say, because we do struggle, guys. Even though you might see me on TV every day, just do know that sometimes she doesn't have bread. So if you just look at me on social media and say, girl, can I transfer you 2 million rand? Transfer. Transfer like 2 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, cool. Well, at least we're getting to learn that, you know, there's people who have dreams and they go out for their dreams and they, you know, they pack their bags and head for Joburg. And there's a gradual realization of this dream. You know, that is what happiness is. It's not a destination.
Mm-mm.
You don't arrive and then you say you've arrived. But there's this ideal life that you'd love to live. How you'd love to wake up and what you think you would want to do for the rest of your life. And if you are gradually getting to realize that we're the ideal, then that's actually, you know, that's the life, actually. Because it's not necessarily a picture, but it's a video, you know, and it keeps on evolving.
And it comes with the friends as well.
Mm.
You have got to choose your friends wisely. Mm. Guys, the people that you sit with most of your time, you become them.
Mm.
So you've got to mix yourself with the people who are on the same goal, the same vision, and people who will motivate. Not just people who will say, yo, let's go drink. Oh, let's go to... I'm not saying it's wrong, but just know the time and the support that you get from your friends. Because some friends will think they're supporting you, but they're not.
Mm.
They are just there for the moment and, you know.
Energy thieves.
Yes, you mentioned
energy
it.
Energy thieves. Yeah.
So it's very tough.
Florence, tell me, what books are you reading? Because when you use words like energy thieves, you remind me of a guest I had about 2 years ago, Chris Stiles and his wife, the Stiles family, and they had a lot to say about, you know, energy thieves and energy wizards and those type of things. And it might be that, you know, these driven, highly motivated people read certain things or watch certain videos or attend certain seminars. Tell us about what are you currently feeding to your mind that's making you come up with this vocabulary that's also making you sound this driven and passionate and everything?
The main book,
uh-huh.
The Bible.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm reading The Daily Devotions,
mm-hmm.
by Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer,
mm-hmm.
T.D. Jakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that, and okay, I read political books.
Yeah.
Nelson Mandela books. Mm-hmm. There's quite a few, Yes We Still Can. There's quite a few books that I'm reading. But mostly my main book, which I spend time on every day, it's my Bible.
Mm.
Because I've seen the greatest things that the Lord has done for me.
Mm-hmm.
He has elevated me to where I am.
Mm. Yeah.
Where I never thought. You know, that's where I get all my motivation from all these motivational daily devotions that I read. And why I've chosen that path is that I've learned and I have seen change in my life when reading these books. And they say that you must speak positivity in your life.
Mm.
You mustn't dwell on the negative things. all the good things that you want, you must speak them.
Mm-hmm.
You must say that ndimhle.
Yes.
Ndinemali.
Mm.
Ibhizinisi yami iyaqhuba.
Yes.
And it's because it's all those things that people, they frighten themselves. They get frightened. This lady. She's pushing some. You must speak. Nobody's going to speak about your life. Yeah. Nobody's going to speak about your business.
Definitely.
Nobody's going to speak on your behalf. You
Amen.
Need to make sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's change that into a church. This is church right here. You know those multilingual churches where they have to translate, where the one is preaching in Xhosa, then the one is like translating everything into Sotho and then to English and so on. So I wanna actually end the show in that particular way. So you're gonna say those three things that you just said now, ndimhle, ndinemali, and the other things that you also mentioned, and that's pretty much how we'll end the show. But before that, where can we get a hold of you, ladies? Yeah,
You can get hold of Cleaners on Call on www.cleanersoncall.co.za, www.cleanersoncall.co.za, and the salon is based at Princess Crossing, in closer to Westgate Shopping Mall. It's called Amor, the Pursuit of Beauty. That's where you can get us, and you can Google www.amorsa.co.za.
Great stuff. And you?
Bukiwe Keva on Instagram and Bukiwe Keva on Facebook, and watch Isidingo and see me there.
Definitely. All right, cool. It's the shortest hour of the week, and here we go.
Umhle,
I am beautiful.
Zenzele, well,
do it yourself,
and it starts with you.
Aye, man, you're supposed to say it.
No. The pasta changes.
Yes.
Kaloko, the pasta changes.
Sharks. All right.
One. He said, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, yeah. Et cetera, et cetera.
Londo.
Excellent. Guys, it's the shortest hour of the week. It's cliffcentral.com and it's Unplugged and In Charge. Thank you very much for listening in.
This is cliffcentral.com.